Welcome to season three of Work and Life. It's incredible to be back with you. We have such a fun topic for this season that I hope a lot of you will really enjoy and find really valuable. We're calling it the Great Opportunity. What does that mean? So you've probably seen out of a lot of headlines pop up the Great Resignation and this big threat that so many people are going to be leaving their organizations and what's going to happen and how many billions of dollars is it going to cost. And we're seeing a lot of movement in the market. We're going to share some interesting data with you in a little bit that I think will be quite encouraging. But more so, I think that in this chaos that the pandemic brought on us and so many things that have changed, at this point, for organizations, it actually gave us a bit of a second chance. Our friend Delta, that came in wreaking havoc on most things, made people pause a little bit more. And in a lot of our research that we've been doing over the year and asking people, how likely are you going to go? We're seeing a lot of people still looking for opportunity to move, but maybe a little less so than they were at the beginning. So what we're going to do this season is really focus on what is this great opportunity for organizations that really in some ways have a second chance to create an incredible culture, take a step back, understand who they are, what am I doing really well, what can I be doing better, how do you do that most effectively, and then also for people as you're reflecting and saying, okay, maybe I'll give myself a little bit more time to do soul searching. And I've learned a lot about myself over the last year and a half, and there are some changes that I want to make. Maybe it'll give people a little even more perspective before making that change around really having an opportunity to, you know, take a step and say, what is it that I really want? What is it that I'm really looking forward in a career? And what is the next best step for me? So that is the overview of our season. We're going to go into more detail. Let me introduce myself quickly for those of you who might be listening for the first time. My name is Sonia Lucina. I'm an organizational psychologist. I lead the workforce business unit at Question Pro, and am an internal optimist, an enthusiast. And my life goal mission is to make people happy. And I've dedicated my life to really doing that at work and impacting organizational cultures. And today I have a unique privilege of having my good friend and colleague, Dan Fleetwood, on as my co-host. He's somebody that I've enjoyed knowing for a long time. And it's just been an incredible pleasure working alongside of him, learning with him. I'll let him introduce himself a little bit before we jump into the topic. But thank you, Dan, so much for joining me today. It is really a pleasure to have you on.
Oh, no, thank you very much. I'm happy to be here. And you're too kind with what you said about me. So I'm not sure other people would say that, but I'm happy that you did. So no. So my primary background is in research and in the research space. So I lead the research and insights function here at Question Pro. So I'm excited to jump on this podcast today and kick off this new season at Work at Life.
Well, thank you. And I'm sure that everybody would say the same thing I did. I don't think it's a stretch at all. Not at all. All right. I think one of the things that I particularly loved about working with you and your team is that both of us are researchers. And although maybe we have slightly different areas of focus at work, really understanding people, understanding dynamics in the world, what's going on, you know, from in your world, also all kinds of research from academic to consumer to you name it, is that you've also built such a great part of the business that empowers me as a researcher to ask a lot of questions that are, I think, incredibly critical to me when I think about the labor market and when I think about people and also the people that I work with. So I think everyone that I've talked to probably ever since I've joined Question Pro, I've told about your team and Tim and the Slack integration and how anytime I have a question I want to ask people, I can literally jump into Slack and ask questions. And that's really revolutionized the way that I approach research, approach our business. Like I've just absolutely loved it. And I think in these times where the market is so dynamic and we're always wondering, like, what are people thinking and what do people want? And I'm talking to organizations all the time that are saying, like, Sonia, like, what do we, you know, 2020 was such a year of understanding what is it, you know, are my people okay? Like, are they healthy? Are they sick? Do they need something? How are their families? And then do they have the technologies they need if they're working from home? If they're coming physically into work, are we doing enough to make them feel safe? Like, it was this, like, if you almost look at like Maslow's hierarchy of needs, we drop down to like the very basic, like, human safety. And that's okay, because it was absolutely necessary. And oftentimes the only thing we had the capacity to do and the only thing we could act on. But the nice shift that I've seen in the market this year is that organizations have found some grounding. And though, of course, sadly, the pandemic is not over yet, and we still have to ask some of these basic questions, a lot of the organizations have grounded themselves and said, okay, I know how to ask this on a continuous basis, but I'm back to really wanting to understand the well-being of my employees, like understanding, are they doing okay? Are they burnt out? What is their mental well-being? I've loved, as a psychologist, how much we're talking about that these days. And I think it's going to be incredible how we blend that with the workplace and with the relationship with our colleagues, the relationship with managers. Diversity and inclusion will be a whole other episode. It should be a season on its own. But they're just so, I've never seen a market so dynamic when it comes to how do we approach work? What are the right things to do? And organizations, you know, in a way saying, how do I effectively experiment? What are the things, like, what are the hypotheses I should be testing? Like, what is like the most educated guess on something that I could make that's going to work? How do I do it? And then what's the most effective way for me to connect with my people to find out, like, how did I do? And can I do better?
Yeah. So obviously the pandemic, no one has really gone through something like that before, but do you feel like that has made it a more like workplace, more like humanized experience or humanized focus through which like employees or employers have to look towards? Like, I think when I think about it, it's less of like the, it's less about like the employer and more about the employee. Right. And so by virtue of that, it's, I think companies are finding, and I even read something that Mark Cuban said, where like how you treat people makes a big difference. And it's not like, it's something that's simple, but I think kind of is at the concrete and at the core of, I think, a lot of what we're going to talk about today, actually.
Yeah, absolutely. And I do think that it's changed because, and for so many reasons, I think for one that we've opened up this humans more. So I think particularly I've lived and worked on different continents and they have different dynamics, but a lot of times, you know, there's this a little bit of a transactional relationship between a person and their work. And a lot of times you think it's, you know, unfortunately something that I have to do because I have to make money to be able to survive. And maybe it's more of a transactional relationship than is the best way to set up a relationship between a person and its employer. Like, but it's just worked for a really long time that people didn't question it as much. And then the pandemic hit and we couldn't help but bring the personal into life, into work and have it blend so much. And I think that it's caused, I think it's for a lot of people, it took the shields off and it felt like, okay, like I can finally be myself in many ways because I am at home and I am blending all of these different parts of who I am. And whether I consciously made a decision or not, I'm sharing that with my employer. And there may be some things before that I didn't ask for. There were still a necessity, but I felt like I was out of line asking for them. Where today there's such a necessity that unless like some adjustment can be made, I just can't be a part of this organization anymore. And like, I think, and that's interesting, and that can probably, because like bring us into our first data point as well, because there's so much to talk about on this topic.
I know there's a lot. Just
I know. How long do we want to make this episode? I don't know. I promised 20 to 30 minutes, but I'm not sure. So that's, I think recently, you know, I mentioned DEI and that it's such a big topic. And recently I was talking to a friend of mine and he asked me why I thought organizations maybe didn't take more action on it yet. And I said that I think while most organizations really understand the importance, it just hasn't hit the bottom line numbers in such a significant way that it's made us really urgent. That was not my optimist and my, you know, the person in me desiring for everything to be better, but a little bit of a realist recognizing what's actually happening in the market to hopefully be able to more effectively fix it. And then But what's happening now to your question, like, is that relationship changing? Is that actually when turnover happens, that hits our bottom line. And especially in the critical positions. And all of a sudden, when you can't deliver on products, when you don't have people in sales, when you don't have healthcare professionals, I mean, the impact is just wild. And so we asked last week, 1,200 individuals in the United States if they're looking for a new job. And that's not a question that, you know, we're the first ones asking, but we had to know firsthand. And we found out that only 20% of people said that they're not interested in changing jobs right now, which left 8% who've changed jobs in the last 6 months. So they're kind of, you know, like in their own side. And, you know, the other 72 said they're open in all different levels. And these are full-time employed people. So this is not individuals who are, you know, not currently employed looking for a position. It's a person who is in a full-time position today. And more than a quarter of them are saying they're actively looking for a job. And 72% said that they're in some way, shape, or form open to a new opportunity, even if they're not actively looking. And so if you've looked at the labor markets lately or labor market numbers lately, the number of openings far exceed the number of new hires, which I was earlier when you and I were chatting, I was telling you about my friend that said, I can't even hire a recruiter. And I've been in talent acquisition like forever, and I've never heard such a thing. Like, recruiters are amazing and they're incredibly valuable, but I think it's the first time in my career that I'm hearing of a recruiter shortage. So it's pretty incredible. Yeah. And I know you were sharing, if you want to share some of the stories you shared with me earlier, with your actually like firsthand as a president of a business unit, as a hiring manager yourself, your experience.
No, it is.
In finding people.
It is difficult. I think, you know, to your point earlier, you said that businesses start to pay attention when it starts to hit the bottom line. Well, I think we're definitely there because you mentioned, you know, turnover is a big factor. But then when you can't replace those employees that left, that hurts even worse, right? So, and I think I'm seeing that as well, where just trying to find people to fill roles and open roles and positions, it's tough. They'll have three or four different offers on the table, and you know they're going to take the best one. Whether that, we'll get to this in a little bit here, I know, in some of the numbers that you have, but there's a lot of different factors that go into that. So how do you be competitive? How do you set those different markers that people really care about? And I think it's interesting because a lot of it comes down to pay, as you know, the same. I think these are the same results here with the what that we're looking at or not. I know we can see it, but the people can't anyway. If you're listening to it.
So if you're listening, the question that we asked there, what are the most important considerations for your new role? And the options that we gave were pay, flexibility, and where and or when I work, workplace culture, and the people who I work with, benefits, type of work I do, opportunities for promotion, etc. So there was a list of items, because as you can imagine, what most organizations are saying is, one, how do I retain my people? Like, what is important to them, and how do I make sure they stay? And then two, I know maybe, probably no matter what I do, some people will leave. Hopefully it won't be many. But hey, now optimistically, I see a lot of people on the market. So how do I get them to choose me? Like at this point, if all the headlines are saying that it's the employees or the job seekers market, when they go, you know, when they entertain the idea of working with me, why would they choose me? How do I best equip myself to be their employer of choice? And one of the things that we were chatting about before was just that the opportunity for organizations to really also take a step back and reevaluate their identity and reevaluate, maybe more common way is to say, is there an employee value proposition? And what is their employee brand? And it's interesting because I've done a lot of work around culture. And oftentimes organizations will ask me, well, we've defined our values. And, you know, maybe it was 5, 10, 20 years ago. Can we change those? Like, is it bad to change our values? And what we were talking about earlier is as people, we change and we evolve and we're different all the time. And a part of it is just really understanding, like, what are the things that we're really good at as people? And what are the things that maybe we're not great at? And it's just not something that we're going to strive, you know, towards greatness or perfection. And I think it's the same The same is true for organizations. And now is such an important time for organizations to do that work and really be clear with themselves. Just because you've had values written on a wall or written on your website for the last X years doesn't mean you still have to be that organization. They might have served you well for a while, but is it who you want to be today? And then looking at research, both internally with your employees and externally for what the market wants, is understanding, well, where do those things overlap and how much of that market can I attract with who I am? Right. And one of the things that we were chatting about was like pay for restaurants, right? Mm-hmm. And the fact that now you have these like help wanted signs like on windows and saying, you know, we'll pay $20 an hour, $25 an hour, which was unheard of maybe some months ago or a couple of years ago. But at this point, organizations are saying, I'll almost pay like anything because without these people, I can't run my business. But then if right. everybody's saying that, that's what we were looking in the data for what comes next. So mm-hmm. if I pay well enough to know that that's at least going to be a reason, won't be a reason that somebody will leave me, and I'm paying well enough for somebody to consider me, what else is important?
Right. No, I think that's really interesting. And, you know, going back to what you're mentioning about values and can we change our values? Maybe it's not even changing your values, but just adapting to the current situation, right? You can still keep the same core values, but just adapt them to what's going on mm-hmm. now. I know maybe it was, hey, everybody needs to be in the office. Now everybody can be remote. Maybe that was not necessarily a value, but it was maybe just a cultural thing that you had within a company. And I think adapting to the current times, like you said, I think is key, and really listening to employees and new hires and why did they come on? I mean, and really seeing what the market bears, I think is interesting. And a lot of these things here with the considerations for a new role, some of the things that I honestly thought were important, like, you know, honestly, with one of the options is autonomy and how I manage my work. 5% of people said that that is an important consideration. For me, that is a higher consideration than 5% because I want that. But I think maybe that is some way that I'm a little bit disengaged with what people want or the types of roles that people want, honestly. So I think it is interesting to really take a look at these and really see how they've changed over time and how you need to adapt, because, and maybe it's a little bit interesting by role as well, right? Where maybe higher positions, maybe your autonomy is kind of natural and you have to decide how you're going to work and what you're going to do because there's really no one telling you how to do it. But maybe in some of the more service oriented industries where it's, you need to do this, maybe you've never even thought about how I can have autonomy in my role. So that to me was kind of interesting that only 5%. So that was an important consideration, because I know when I'm talking with employees, they think it's important. And I think it is as well. So could depend on industry there, but that was one thing that was really surprising to me in these results.
Yeah. And I wish like, oh, as you were talking, like you were making so many good points. I'm like, I don't have pen. I don't have paper. I need to write this down so I can highlight it. But I think I remember too. One, I think that it's, you know, it's so important, like what you said, what you believe is important mm-hmm. and what is important to you. And as humans, it is incredible how often that happens, that because something's important to me, I don't realize how individual that must be. And I think like, oh, but that's so incredibly important. And I can offer that to people. And all, but why mm-hmm. is it not working? And it can take a really long time for that realization. So I think that's super important for people to realize that mm-hmm. what we see in ourselves, we need to be careful to make that a reflection of others. And also the things can change over time. So one mm-hmm. of the things that, you know, I keep mentioning when I talk about talking with employees and understanding what they want is that in our research here, flexibility and where and when I work came in as the second top factor, just under pay. Mm. So pay was 30%. That was 24%. I think that's also really telling of the time today. And what I always tell organizations is that's the kind of thing I've talked to a number of our clients over the last week that said, Sonia, remote work was one of my biggest differentiators before the pandemic. And now that's gone. So what mm-hmm. do I do with this? Like, is it going to remain like important? Are organizations going to remain, you know, to offer it? And the reality is we don't know. We know what mm-hmm. people believe is important to them today. We know what organizations believe they're going to offer, but all of that can change. And so from a psychology standpoint, I always, you know, joke in some ways, but in some ways I'm serious, like you can't underestimate the fear of missing out. So if you're home and you can have the ability to go to the office, but you're choosing not to, and you're, you know, seeing photos on social media or wherever, you know, your teammates having fun or in a meeting, your mind might change, and that's okay. Like, you should reserve the right to change your mind, and your employer should remember that they need to, you know, stay in touch to understand what are the most important things. And then one of the other things that you and I were chatting about before, that's maybe a little more like nerdy research angle, but I think also important for, for people to think about, is how you word things that you ask. So you and I talk about autonomy and how we manage our work. And probably if you and I had, if I had a pen and I could write down a definition and you did too, I betcha they would be very similar. But it's a little bit of an abstract concept. So especially, I think when organizations are making decisions, making sure when you're giving people choices to make it as clear as possible, so you're not interpreting something and saying like, ah, okay, I thought autonomy would be more important. All right, autonomy out the window. Okay, maybe. Maybe there is something in that, and that got in the feeling to say, hold on, let's maybe ask it a different way, or let's do a focus group, or let's have that further conversation. Because if I'm so surprised, maybe there was just something in how we communicated. And there's that big difference also, like, not only across like different cultures and just different languages and how you word things, but also in different generations. Like, autonomy might mean different things. So it could also be the person creating the survey that's maybe used to a specific language for it to mean something, but somebody older or younger, for whatever reason, would call it something different. So that's also, I guess, again, like doing a little more like technical research method. I think still like really, really important to consider in this context, because things are changing so much.
Yeah, and I think that's interesting. And wording is, I mean, I deal with it all day and, you know, surveys and so forth. Wording is key. So, and also the wording, but do people understand it? Like you mentioned, right? Like, we need to come to like some sort of common definition so everybody understands the questions. You can reduce the risk there. I think it's interesting. And I know one other point, you know, to that was, I honestly thought in some of those results that opportunity and the ability for advancement would be higher as well. Because again, maybe that's my bias. Like, that's something that I see that's big, is the opportunities for promotion and advancement. Like, when I'm talking with people, I feel like that's what they want, and I'm hearing that, but maybe that's not the general sentiment all around. Maybe at this time, some people just want stability, and they just want to, I want the benefits. Yeah. I want to feel good. I want some flexibility in where I work right now, but I'm fine right now. I don't need any more changes in my life. Maybe they've had enough, right? So I think that's interesting and kind of evolving with the market and what it's going to bear. And, you know, to your point now, like, where remote work isn't really a differentiator, I think it might be, again, a differentiator in a couple of years. Once, you know, hopefully, you know, we never know, because now the Delta variant is back and so forth. So I never want to like think I know what's going on with the coronavirus. But, you know, I think that flexibility might change. And as more people go back to the office or hybrid situations, and they want to just work from home, I think that could, now maybe it's not a differentiator, but maybe even a year from now, it could be. So I think that's an interesting point.
Yeah, and that's what I said something very similar to our clients, is that when you're talking to talent today, I mean, we've certainly seen in the news that organizations are going through different iterations, and either everyone's going back to the office, nobody's going to back to the office, we're going part-time, like, and that's okay. Everyone's still trying to figure things out. But if somebody wants to make a move and they want to make it a little more permanent than maybe the next year or so, if you were a remote organization before, they can certainly have a little more confidence or comfort thinking that you're going to remain that this wasn't just a temporary solution to the pandemic, but it was actually the way you chose to do business before. And I said, I don't have data today to know how significant of a factor that will be to a person when they make their decision. But as a psychologist, I think to me, it's certainly comforting to say, okay, I do, if that is something that I believe is really important to me, I believe in your argument. I don't think you're trying to sell me on something. I think that it is really true that that was your business model and you build your entire business that way. And it's, you don't really have a great reason to change after the pandemic. And I think, you made a phenomenal point about opportunities for promotion and how it's like kind of wedged in the middle of our data. I didn't even notice that. And I think that that could be a really interesting one for how we see things evolve, because in a lot of the employee research I've done over the years, that's a lot of times really, really important to people, especially younger generations that tend to like right. want to like climb quickly. And mm-hmm. you know, it's like we're a little, you know, more senior. We've gone through a few years of work. Like we know true. How things work. We know like what's realistic, what's not. But I yeah. remember being bright-eyed and bushy-tailed. I was like, oh, I'm going to be CEO at 20-something or, you know, whatever that aspiration was. Right. And, but I think that was such a phenomenal point that you made, because I do think that one is really telling of what's going on today. Mm-hmm. And that people yeah. are taking a step back, and a lot more people are saying, I need to spend time thinking about my well-being, about my mental health, about my balance with family. Like, people have literally gone through hell and like back over the last yeah. like year and a half, and in different degrees. And maybe no matter how important career is to you, that's one of those things that sometimes in life, like you can say, I will pause, it'll be okay. Like you can't pause your kids growing up. Like you can't mm-hmm. pausing a relationship with a significant other can be a little dicey.
Not recommended.
Not recommended on the show. But so I wonder if it's, you know, if you think about your career, and especially if you've been working for a few years and you think like, opportunities for advancement, there'll always be one. And maybe if in the organization right. where I'm in, it's not so readily available, but like that's okay. Like I just need a break and I want to enjoy life. And I think those, again, like those kinds of perspectives and digging in more, I think is really interesting, because it's not to like take this data and tell organizations like, don't worry, nobody wants to be promoted anymore. Everyone's complaining. Like, no. Yeah. It is September of 2021, people. Like,
yeah,
everyone's yep, tired and we point. Need a break. We need a little bit of self-love and like, you know, to travel yep. and have a cocktail on a deserted island, or I don't know, like wherever, yeah. whatever people's jam nice. Is to, for that, doesn't it? I know. So anyway, like so much to unpack and so much to think towards over yeah. the next year. And I think that as many questions we ask and insights we get, I think it uncovers more and more questions. And so that would be like one of my recommendations for people. Like, don't ever stop your soul searching. Understand what it is that you want, and understand that you always have the opportunity and the right to change your opinion. That nothing, like I've had so many people ask me, like, or even friends as advice, like, do you think that it's okay if I'm thinking about changing a career? Do you think that it's okay if I don't want to push myself that hard anymore? Like, I can't, like, and I mm-hmm. actually Just shared it with breath. You. Yeah. I know I found like on, I think it was on Instagram, one of my friends put a post and it's like, I don't want to be resilient anymore. I just want it to be easy. And I was like, yeah, I think I'm crying. Like, this really hit home. I think I sent it to her like when I was in Europe at like 2 a.m. and she's like, hang in there. And I'm like, I know. It's just like, when is it going to stop? And I think all those emotions are okay. Like, we're just, everyone's going through so much. And so to really take a deep breath, like, give ourselves, every person, so much credit for everything that we've been through, that we're still standing, that it's okay to take some time. And then for organizations to recognize this new dynamic and to know that, like, probably now more than ever, people mm-hmm. want to tell them what they want and people want to tell them how they're feeling. And if they're in an organization where they feel like, I really enjoyed being here, I'd love to stay here. Maybe, you know, I'm okay today. Or maybe, hey, if you could just do this, like to really make it that collaboration, the two-way dialogue. I think there's never been a time that both organizations, because of the numbers we're seeing, and people are invested in that. So that's what, like we were saying at the beginning, that's why the show is the great opportunity. I think it's been hard, but I think that there's some amazing things ahead and amazing things that we can co-create together. And so just really looking forward to talking more about that over the season.
Yeah, you have a great season lined up. I'm excited to hear what you have in store. So it's an interesting topic for sure. So
thank you. Well, thank you so much again for kicking it off with me. There's nobody I would have loved having by my side as much as you. So it was
my pleasure.
it was really lovely to have you here. And we'll keep the conversation going. Thank you for everybody for joining us on the first season or the first episode of our season 3, and looking forward to seeing you all again soon. soon. Thank you, Dan.
Thank you very much. It was fun.